Before we go into today's incredible podcast, I have a quick public service announcement, especially if you have a child under 10. VFriends is happy to announce right now, our new book is available for pre-sale, coming out this July, the first VFriends book called Meet Me in the Middle, with the VFriends characters, the Patient Pig and the Eager Eagle starring, is available. Please go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, or your favorite bookstore and search right now on the internet, Meet Me in the Middle, VFriends, and you'll be able to find it. GaryVee.com, GaryVee.com/Meet Me in the Middle. Go check that out right now. We will send you for your ability to pre-order the best kids book of the year, according to Tamara Vaynerchuk, my mom. We've been obviously flirting this for a long time, and I hope you all check it out. And really, genuinely, I think a lot of kids need to learn the middle. Balance is very hard in today's world, and this book, I think, will put a lot of your youngsters on the right path of trying to find their balance between being eager and ambitious and trying to make things happen, but also learning the virtues of patience. And on the flip side, maybe giving a little boost to some of your youngers as they fall in love with the eager eagle and start pushing to new heights. And so, one last time, GaryVee.com/meet me in the middle. And by the way, if you pre-order, please tweet me at GaryVee and tell me you have and show me a picture of you clicking the button or something. Anyway, here's the podcast. Thank you. We're excited.
Attention is the number one asset.
And if I'm hearing, I mean, there's so many ways to reach people now. So many more ways than ever.
Yes.
And it sounds like you're saying that people feel like, oh, I have to cover all the bases, as opposed to looking at each one of as a marketplace and figuring out what the right opportunity is for you, for your brand, for your message at that moment.
Period. That if you're like, there's just so many examples I can give. If you are a florist, Instagram feels incredibly natural because a lot of people are there, but it's also hard right now. The supply and demand of attention on Instagram makes it challenging.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I know the cliche, the average, the typical florist is not thinking about LinkedIn. Meanwhile, LinkedIn is acting like Facebook in 2015, where on LinkedIn, if you post about floral arrangements or why you're a good option for a corporate floral or just a one-off Valentine's Day thing, it is more likely that you will get organic reach on LinkedIn than Instagram. I know that 99.9% of the people listening to this podcast would not believe that to be true, but I know it to be true. And there's 100 other things I'm thinking about or know to be true. And so I'm gonna use this book to lay that out, but also get people into the right mindset, which is there's attention and there's filling that attention. This podcast, Everyone who listens to it is gonna listen to me right now. The variable of success for me and for you is the words that come out of my mouth. The creative is the variable. If I give sharp insights, if I give things that bring people value, they will feel better towards me, right? So I think people are thinking about all these social networks as distribution, but not thinking about filling them with something that actually works. I believe that people are mainly mailing in the content. It's inherently selfish. Look at me, follow me, buy from me. It's incredibly repetitive. I look at brands and people every day, they're saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. That's grounded in selfishness. And so I don't think people are strategic. I don't think they understand the science around the art of making a picture or video work for you in YouTube, YouTube Shorts, Facebook, Facebook Reels, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, WhatsApp channel, Instagram channel. These are new things, broadcast channels, the carousel ad, the video, the reel versus the regular post, LinkedIn versus Twitter, Twitter versus Snapchat. Snapchat discovery is where a lot of creators should be making content, but they're only making it on Instagram and TikTok. So in a lot of ways, the books I've been writing for the last almost two decades, I feel like this is the 301 course. And I'm really, you probably can sense it, I'm really proud of it. It was really harder for me. I always am so ahead of things that I can just spit it. But this one I wanted to I'm dreaming of someone right now who's listening to this post the book coming out, buying the book on Amazon, and a week later having like 40 highlights in it and pen. Like, I know I'm up to something. The two books that have, you know, Crush It, which really put me on the map, right? You know, that book and Jab, 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 Right Hook, it acted differently than the other books. All my books have done well. They've all been New York Times bestsellers. But I'm still getting emails about you know, jab, 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 right hook, even though a lot of the content is not as timely. And so I felt like I needed to do the updated version and the more advanced version. But still, I've always been the kind of communicator that's more of the average Joe. So because I record my books in audio form, I don't think I'm gonna lose people in the 301-ness. And so I'm excited, I'm really excited about it.
So, an attention question to ask you about.
Please.
So, Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Travis Kelce.
Yes.
Have changed the NFL's business.
Yes.
Without the NFL being a part of its plan at all.
That's right.
Like, what is the attention message from that? I know you're a big NFL fan.
Yes, so I am.
Is there a message in that?
Yes, of course there is. It's actually one of the biggest parts of the book, which is that everybody on earth underestimates pop culture. What happened with Taylor and Kelce is they're cross-pollinating their platforms. Hmm. So if you're a mechanic in Detroit, like I said in this post on social, you're not thinking about hitting up the Thai restaurant down the street to do a piece of social media content. I know that's true today. Yet, that's the kind of left field post that will get people's attention. And so what I see there is, what do I think about pop culture? I think it's one of the most significant currencies on earth. What if you're lucky enough to have an employee that works for you that's first name is Travis and another one that's first name is Taylor? Like, literally, you're a law firm. Travis Johnson, Taylor Smith. Maybe they're both guys, because Taylor is obviously a name that can go either way. You can easily use the micro moment of the infatuation of our society to do something clever and silly. What people don't realize is that little clever video on Instagram that only got 90 views, one of those 90 views is someone who's actually considering to hire an attorney, and they actually like the fact that you were a little silly and not buttoned up, and you made them feel more comfortable to reach out to you to work with your law firm or your dentist's place or your people are very linear. They don't realize how big pop culture is and how they can factor into their boring business. I had a gentleman reach out to me who has, literally I used a concrete cement business in one of my analogies in a piece of content. He literally owned a asphalt business. He literally started to make TikToks even though he thought it was the wildest, craziest thing he'd ever heard. And it literally has doubled his business. An asphalt seller, like guy that comes and redoes your driveway, made a couple TikToks, one went decent, another one went viral, and literally, if I recall properly the email, a business that was doing $800,000 a year servicing a local area, I think he was in Wisconsin, is now doing 2.5 million. The tears were coming through the email. But most people who are listening to this podcast don't, who are in a B2B or like a different kind of business, are not thinking how TikTok can work for them.
Right, and pop culture doesn't necessarily mean that you need to have your celebrity endorser.
Correct.
You're playing off of what the conversations that are going on are.
It's like being good at a cocktail party, right? Think of this as your social media marketing. You go out tonight and it's a fundraiser of your local PTA or the school or it's the banquet for the high school basketball team. Are you the kind of person that comes to that event and you're enjoyable to talk to and have a circle around you, or are you in the corner by yourself? The reality is being an introvert and not being comfortable in that is incredibly appropriate and awesome. As a business, you'd like to think that you're trying to market and get business. And so to me, there's so much more permission for creativity than people allow themselves. But you know, like, people continue to like wear their suit and tie in their LinkedIn profile. And like they don't understand the room is what I also ultimately think. I think like you take the most stuffed up person you know. Literally, I want everyone to close their eyes and just think about like the most kind of buttoned up, stuffy, rigid person you know. I promise you, if that person goes to Las Vegas right now with their best friends from college for a weekend, they're going to be a different version of themselves than you know them. And I think businesses and brands have more permission to be contextual to the room they're distributing the content in. When I make Facebook content, I'm thinking about parents because I know the demo is going to be older. Those are going to be different videos that I'm putting into TikTok where I know they're going to be youngsters. The words and the videos and the slang and everything I say and do is different. Yet I believe most people are just making a video and then pushing them out on these channels and expecting for it to succeed. They think of it as distribution. I think of it as a place you have to be contextual to win the room.
Because it's a conversation.
Before it even gets into a conversation, you can't win when you're a fish out of water. as a communicator, if you don't know the room, you will lose. If you go give a commencement speech to a very conservative college and you sling unlimited liberal propaganda, it won't land with those kids, and vice versa. If you're a Jets fan like I am, and you go to Boston and you shit on the Patriots the whole time, you're gonna lose some people. You've got to know the room. And you're raising capital from a VC firm that is very buttoned up, that's a different presentation to an angel investor who they were all entrepreneurs and they built it themselves. If you do not know the slang, you will be out of place. And so I believe before it becomes a conversation, my friend, if you do not know what the picture and video needs to look like at 3:34 p.m. on a Monday in LinkedIn, which is mainly consumed by people who are at work. Think about all the psychology goes into this. I'm posting different content when I know you're at work than when I'm posting on the weekend and knowing you might be skimming your LinkedIn real quick while you're catching up on work, or you're at your kid's baseball game and you're bored and you're just looking at your LinkedIn. Like, I reverse engineer the psychology of the room, the psychology of the person in the room at the time that they consume the content. That level of thought, besides thinking what the thumbnail looks like, besides thinking what the first 3 seconds of the video has to be to even keep you to consume it, this is a level of science in day trading attention that I believe 99% are not executing on in social, and therein lies the opportunity and the vulnerability.